Proverbs chapter 13. Lord willing, I'll speak to you on hope deferred or disappointment. And perhaps I'll tell you how it came to mind as we go along. These thoughts just came to me as I was considering for several weeks now the study that I'm to take up in prayerful. So let's look in Proverbs chapter 13. And look at verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Look in chapter 12 at verse 25. 12:25. Heaven is in the heart of a man, maketh it to stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. So here is hope deferred or disappointment. And what made me think about hope being deferred is that in the Christian life, at times God sets hope before us. But at other times, the hope has never been set there. The only way you can have hope deferred is if God has given you that hope. That's good. That you have a heart that is sick, it means that you genuinely hope in that promise of God. But when it says hope deferred, and that word means it is delayed, it's put off. So when this thing you're hoping for is delayed, deferred, put off, it makes the heart sick. But if you understood the hope that God gave, there is a time frame in which the realization of that hope is contained. And if God gave you hope, such as this, you're going to plant a vineyard, and you put the vine in the ground, and you're expected to come up the very next year full of grapes. But according to God's laws, it takes a grapevine, however so long it does, before it bears fruit. And so if you plant that grapevine, that is hope. Yes, you're going to get grapes. But if you plant it, and you expect in the first year, and God has never made grapevines to produce the first year after you plant a little sprig in the ground, then you look, and your hope is deferred, and it makes your heart sick. But the reason your heart is sick is if you have the right hope that you will get fruit, but you could not have the right time when that hope is going to be realized. And so for that reason, there are some who place hope in a promise that God has never given. And that hope is not going to be deferred. That hope does not exist. It's not going to be deferred, but it is denied. Why? Because God never did it. Let me give you an example. There are those in town, multitudes of them, that have hope that their loved one who has died, that did not go to heaven, but went to purgatory, that they can have masses and prayers and offerings given up for them, and eventually they will get out of purgatory into heaven. That's not a hope deferred. That is a hope that doesn't exist. Because our Savior says in Luke chapter 16, when you have a great gulf fixed between those in the place of joy and contentment and those in the place of torment, and the rich man is crying out for someone to come and help him. And also, about coming over to the other side and sending somebody to earth and having his brethren warned that they might not come to this. And Abraham says, all of this is without foundation. There is a great gulf and there's no coming or going over. Now, if all those who have the hope that their loved ones are in purgatory and they're going into heaven, that is not a hope deferred. That is a hope denied, because God has told you that such a hope does not exist. So what happens to some Christians is that they have slipped off, they have disappointment in life, because they lay hold on certain promises in the Bible, but those promises have nothing to do with them. And because of that, they have their hopes set on it, and they wait and wait and wait, and they say, this hope is deferred so long, and my heart is sick. And their heart will remain sick throughout their life, because God has only made certain promises. And God does not give a promise to a man to reject Christ in this life. He does not give him a promise that he's going to be saved in the next life. So understand about what we can place our hope in, and what we cannot take our hope in. That is the important thing. So, when it says hope deferred, it means that God has given us a genuine hope, but we have failed to understand just when that hope is going to be realized, and we expect it sooner than God has promised it, because it's deferred, not because God has failed, but because the time element has been misunderstood by you. That hope deferred makes your heart sick. And there is heaviness, and there is sorrow, and you go through life with your countenance fallen, because it says, hope deferred makes your heart sick. Now, at the same time, if God has made a promise, and that promise is genuine, and at first, you confuse the time, you thought it was going to be sooner, then God has promised you, yet after a while, even though your heart is sick all during that time, when the desire is realized, then it says it is a tree of life. So here is one who has hope, but it's deferred, and his heart is sick. But then here is one who has hope in God, and he waits, and when his hope is realized, his heart and his desire is of the tree of life. It's like this. God told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a son, little realizing that that hope was going to be realized 25 years later. And I can understand Abraham expecting a soon fulfillment of that promise, because if you are 75 years old, and your wife is 65 years old, you say, well, this thing has never happened soon. And when it did not happen soon, they tried to take matters into their own hands, and with this handmaid, you'll find that Abraham wanted to have a child with her. And Sarah was the one who told him to go in and be Hagar, the handmaid. And that is all wrong. So here is a genuine hope that God gives, but God did not tell the exact time. And because of that, the hope is deferred in their eyes, but it wasn't deferred for one moment. God promised that his son was going to come into the world. And it says in Galatians chapter 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. So the root of things, as hope being deferred, if God has told you the time of the fulfillment of that hope. And at times, if you see the hope in the Bible, but you haven't seen the time frame, and you are hoping that it's going to come this year, and you say, Jesus, I've received revelation from God. He's coming this year. He's coming before. Unless you do have that realized, then God will not tell you. God did not give you that promise. And there are some that are not sure, but they have a hope, and they hang on to it, and it's a good thing. That hope is not deferred, to the country that there is that hope and they do not know if in their lifetime God is going to make it pass. And I'm thinking of dear Brother Rose, who is talking to me. And his trick was that the Savior would come to him before he died. And he did everything in his power to live as long as he could so that the Lord Jesus would come. And he lived to be almost 99 years old. But the Lord Jesus never came. And dear John Bramhall is over 100 years old, and the Lord Jesus hasn't come. And so, think of ourselves. And I heard the rebuke of that hope, because Brother Van Lyne, August Van Lyne, told me this years ago. He was speaking, and he said, I see lies up and down the highway when I was a young boy. I read those signs as a young boy that said, Jesus is coming soon. He said, that's a lie. He said, I'm 70 or 80 years old, and I've been waiting 60 years, and Jesus didn't come. You understand? And so, he was not deceived into believing that Jesus was going to come soon. And all of us now, we're excited. The year, Y2K, Jesus, he's coming that year. And then if God hasn't said he's coming that year, then that hope that you have that he is coming is going to be the third, and it will make your heart trip. And you will go around the heaviness heart. And so just as the scripture teaches, your hope that for the coming of Christ exists unless God is giving you a direct revelation. We have turned the gods of idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. And you hope that he comes in your lifetime. And unless God tells you no, he may come in your lifetime. And if God tells you yes, he will come in your lifetime. Now let me give you the contrast. If Peter had hoped that Jesus would come before he died, it would be a hope that was denied. Because it says in John chapter 21, that when Christ spoke to him, it says, this, he said, signifying what manner of death Peter would glorify God. So the Lord Jesus said, you are going to die. And so if Peter had the hope that he would live, it wouldn't be hope deferred. It would be a hope that never existed. It would be a hope that denied. But Simeon, in the Gospel of Luke, he had a revelation given to him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord Christ. And so that is a hope. And the time element was, before you die, you are going to see the Lord Christ. And as it appears in the Gospel of Luke, he was an old man. But he came to the temple of God, and here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he takes the Savior in his arms. And he said, now, Lord, let my foot depart his feet, for mine eyes have seen my salvation. You see, he knew that he was not going to die until he had seen the Lord Christ. Suppose he was 40 years old when God told him that. And each year he had said, Christ's going to be this year, this year, this year. And then 40, 50, 60, 70, maybe he's 80 years old, and his heart would have been sick. Now, if God does not tell you that in your lifetime, it may be like the thief on the cross. Suppose God had made a promise to the mother of that thief on the cross that her son was going to be saved before he died. And she had seen her son condemned to be crucified and had seen him hanging on the cross. What did she have said? This hope has been denied. But thank God, the hope has been deferred. And just before he died, the Lord Jesus said, verily I say unto you, this day, I'll have you to be in paradise. And so if God makes a promise, you have a hope. But when he makes that promise, you be sure you know the time of the fulfillment of that promise. Because if not, it will be a hope deferred, and it will make your heart sick. And another thing, and greatly called it, was that some, when they heard a promise made to John the beloved apostle, the Savior made this promise. He said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that for you? And when the Christians heard it, they said, Jesus, he said that John isn't going to die. He's not going to die. Jesus is going to come back to heaven. But John said, and I thank God for this, he did not say that I was not going to die. He said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that? You heard the witness in John? And so John had that hope. And the Lord Jesus did not come to him to catch him up to be with him in heaven, but on the Isle of Patmos, in vision, this glorious vision that we have in the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus did come to him. So know that God has given you that hope. And know the time element concerning that hope. And then put it that kind of hope that it will give you strength and encouragement. And day by day, you can lift your eyes to heaven and say, it may be today. And you'll be sure you know the time element when it happens. Now, I want to tell you about a few disappointments. And some of them are disappointments because their expectation and interpretation of the promise of God and the preaching of Christ was all wrong. Two of the saddest souls that you find in the Bible are those two in Luke 24 after our Lord has been crucified. And it's 3 days later. And they're walking along and they're so depressed, they're sick at heart, and the Lord Jesus comes and starts talking to them as if he knew nothing as to what is going on. It says, what are you talking about? And they said, are you the only man in the world that doesn't know about Jesus, Nazareth? And they go on and tell him, what kind of this? And they tell him all these things, and this is what is so sad. They tell about his being crucified, and some women coming and giving wild reports, angelic visions, and that meant nothing to them. And so this is what they said. But we hope that he should redeem Israel. No. They had hope that he was going to redeem Israel. And the Lord said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. The hope was right. The Lord Jesus was going to redeem Israel. But they had misinterpreted about God's way of redemption and the time when Israel was going to be restored. And because of that, the Lord Jesus said, O fools and poor of heart, believe in all that the prophets have written. And he said, the scripture speaks of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. But all they wanted was the glory that should follow without the suffering. And let me show you that even those closest to him in the book of Acts, they're expecting so much that glory that is to follow. They had been crushed at first when he died, but now that he's alive, they're about ready to get crushed again if they misunderstand the prophetical outline that God has placed before. They said in Acts chapter 1, he had been talking to them 40 days about the things concerning the kingdom of God. And just before he goes back to heaven, they say, well, are you going at this time to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know. He said, you go and witness for me. That is what you ought to do. Isn't that strange? So Peter said, well, what is John going to do? He said, it's not for you to know. Well, what are you going to do about restoring the kingdom? He said, it is not for you to know. What time are you coming back from heaven, Lord Jesus? It is not for you to know. And therefore, the people sent these papers and prophecies are coming around that Jesus is coming at this rate or that date. It's just like that Sunday morning. He came to the chapel and there was this big box of pamphlets there. And here's this pamphlet telling us that Jesus was coming so soon that we would all be alive when he came. And it gave all the details and the interpretation of scriptures that everybody was excited, hoping that Jesus would come back. And so the time passed, and Jesus did not come back. And then the faces that were so filled with hope and anticipation suddenly were filled with sadness and disappointment. Why? Because this is not a hope deferred. It was a hope that God had never given. And therefore, of course, it was denied. And then the man said, I made a mistake, my calculation is a year off, and so they're waiting another year. And it didn't come. And so for all of those prognosticators that are telling you that Jesus is coming, set them aside. The Savior said, in an hour that you think not the Son of Man coming. but that the Son of Man doesn't know when all of this is going to happen. And yet, there are some that know more than the Lord Jesus. How absurd. But what happens? Was that this wild, extravagant, unsubstantiated preaching was put before the people of God and hope was set before them that God never intended to be set before them. The hope is definite that Christ is coming back. But unless God has told you, as he told Simeon, that he's coming back before you die, then it's a hope that is not going to be deferred, it's going to be denied. And because of that, your heart will stay put the rest of your life. And I'm thinking of the disappointments of life now, and I want you to think about them, and I know that in my prayers those things are mentioned. With the great scientific discoveries, you have those with cancer, you have those with arthritis, you have those that have had strokes, that are paralyzed, and I speak to one like that every week. And this is her hope, that perhaps in her lifetime, the scientists will discover a way to cause the nerves connected to her brain to function again, and she will be able to move her paralyzed limbs. So, that is a hope. And here are other doctors that are setting forth hope for cancer patients if they come and take this water treatment or this drug treatment. And so it may be good or it may be bad. What happens is this so many times. You remember that woman who had an issue of blood? And God tells us in three of the Gospels that she had spent all her living on physicians had not grown better, that had grown worse, and there was not one physician that could heal. And so if there are those that are sick today and they say, well, this physician is going to heal me. No, well, this physician. And you spend all your money and your whole life long going from one physician to another, if God hasn't told you that it's going to be successful, then it is a hope deferred and it's going to be denied because God never did it. But you see how some in the Bible has split hearts because they kept going to one doctor after another. You say, yes, I can heal you. Take all the money. Take all the money. But never healed her at all. But there was one who could heal her. And I thank God for that. He touched the hand Christ promised, and immediately it was healed. And so I'll promise everyone here that is old and sick and suffering and diseased that you're going to be healed the moment our Savior comes from heaven. That is when all of us are going to be healed. It says, our cities and cities in heaven, let's all believe, wait for a Savior. Who shall change this vile body, the body of our humiliation? So that is the promise. And I know that when he comes, we'll all be healed. And for a particular person promise, that is something between you and God. And let me tell you something that is broken too hard. I knew these people personally, and it was very sad because one of them was a dear friend of mine. He had cancer, and he kept getting weaker and weaker, but near the end of his days, he went and told people, he said, God has told me and my wife that we're going to be healed. I'm going to be healed. You don't need to worry. All is good. Well, it's granted. No, I'm just telling you, I'm going to be healed. Needless to say, he died. And so he put hope in the hearts of all his loved ones who said, God had given assurance he was going to be healed, but God had never given assurance that he was going to be healed. He died. And this is even sadder. That was one person, but this one, he was high in a religious organization. His child was sick unto death, but he and his wife were convinced that the Lord Jesus was going to save that child. He told us, and he told to raise his child up. And the child died. And so they were sick at heart because they placed their hope in something that God never intended to do. And so that's not hope deferred, but that hope denied because God never gave that hope. So you be sure whenever you lay hold on a promise in the Bible and you have hope, that you know that it's the hope that pertains to you. This I can say
I am in hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised. I have eternal life now. I will enter into the reality and the fullness of it when the Lord Jesus comes back in heaven. But until then, no. So do not lay hold on false hope. Right now, there are some hope, and they're the third. Not only the third, because you don't know the time element. But thank God for this. So it is a hope that is genuine, and you expect it sooner than God says that it doesn't come. It does not mean that it's not going to come. And I will illustrate that with John chapter 11. The Lord Jesus loves the family of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Lazarus is sick. And they send him a note, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. And Jesus knows, and he waits 4 days. And Lazarus dies. Now, this is the confession of Martha and Mary. As soon as they see the Lord Jesus, they said, Lord, if you indeed did, he is not God. You see that? They have hope that Jesus would come and prevent their brother from dying. And so this hope is deferred, and their heart is made sick. But the Lord Jesus did not promise them that he would heal Lazarus in the city. He had something greater in store. He was going to, before the resurrection, cause Lazarus to come back from the dead. And so he went to sleep. And instead of healing Lazarus before he died, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he was dead painful. And so here was hope that was deferred because they did not understand. But the hope that was deferred, finally, it was fulfilled, the desire was realized, and it says, life. So it may be that we do have hope, that we misinterpret him as the time. But even if you have misinterpreted as the time, it doesn't mean that the hope is going to be taken away. In the fullness of time, that hope will be realized. So, remember, hope may be deferred, but it's going to be fulfilled. And the sickness of the heart will disappear, and your life will be filled with joy. And it says, then the fulfillment of that desire is like a tree of life. Let us not be those who are disappointed because God does not disappoint. I move on, let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the promises that you give us, and we pray that you should forgive us for making promises that you've never given us. We thank you for what understanding of the Bible is given, and we pray that you will forgive us for the false interpretations that we place upon the Bible. And as God, we look to you and say, why is my heart so sick? We understand, our God, that it is sick because we have understood your promise. So let us know when you have the promise, and then that hope will take us through life. And our Father, let us not lay hold on false hope, because being deferred, we make the heart sick, and the heart will taste it, because that hope will never be realized. So, as God, we thank you for the single great and precious promises, and all of them are true. And so, in the course of time, bring to the past, and let us be true, because yet, a very little while, he will come as shall come, and will not tarry. It's just, shall live by faith. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.